Hello, everyone. This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank you for listening to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. Today, I'm extremely excited to introduce to you from Tampa, Florida, Dr. Rodney Howard Brown. Here's Dr. Rodney Howard Brown.
Well, how many love America? God called my wife and I here as missionaries to this great country. Some of you know this for many years, others first time. But we came to America in 1987, landed in the country with just $300. Didn't hardly know why God would put a call to come to this land. In actual fact, people said to us when we first arrived, said, What are you doing? We said, we're missionaries. They said, you're on furlough. We said, no. We come from Africa. And I had several rebukes. You need to go back. America doesn't need missionaries. But I didn't listen. I knew that God had called us to come. And if you remember the years of 87, 88, they were rough years in the body of Christ. Major ministries had collapsed and there was an apathy in the church. So the whole of 1988, we traveled across the country and just really crying out that God would do something. And my prayer went like this: God, I don't care what you do, but do it. I don't care how you do it, but do it. I don't care through whom, whatever, but please do something. Now, you better be very careful when you start telling God that he can do whatever he wants to do. We were invited to upstate New York, to a little town called Clifton Park, just outside of Albany, in April of 1989. And on a Tuesday morning, the first week of meetings, two meetings a day that we had ever conducted, on the Tuesday morning, the glory of God come in there like a wave of the sea. I never saw it, but I felt it. But I saw the impact of it. The very air particles were moving. People started falling out of their seats. Some were weeping, some were shaking, others were filled with great joy. The crowd, the noise sounded like you were standing by a river where there was a running water. How many of you ever stood by a running river with the sound of many water? It was like that in the building. I had to preach above the noise of the crowd. The crowd diminished, not out of the door, but into the floor. People went under the pews. And I had to speak above that noise. And my mind had to deal with it as a minister of the gospel. When I went in the ministry in 1980, you know, I always believe in communicating the word and don't want any interruptions, except this was not an interruption that I had any doing in. It was really like an unseen hand was moving through the people and touching the people. Fortunately, I had studied history. Fortunately, I had studied about the great revivals that took place in America in the 1700s and the 1800s, the first great awakening that caused America to become one nation under God. That great outpouring of the Spirit of God in the 1700s shook America to the very core, impacted every one of the founding fathers. People don't actually know this, but Benjamin Franklin used to publish all of the sermons of the day in a journal that he had that would go out. It was pretty phenomenal what God did through the people like George Whitfield and Peter Cartwright and Jonathan Edwards. The preaching of Whitfield shook America to the very core. That really touched every one of the founding fathers, and they were able to pen that document that has given us the freedom that we have, that made America the greatest country on the face of the earth, called the Constitution of this United States. And it would seem to me that in every century, America loses its way and God sends a move of His Spirit to turn it around. And many have given up hope. And they've said there's no way. We're going down fast. Many even in the government feel like we are changing deck chairs on the deck of the Titanic as the ship is sinking beneath the waves. But I've got news for you. God sent me from Africa to tell you that He's not finished with America, that God's going to shake America one more time, and He's going to shake it to the very core, and America's going to have another great spiritual awakening. We in the beginnings of it now, but I tell you, the Spirit of God is moving, and there's a hunger and a desperation and the cry in the heart of the people from city to city across this great land, and it's going to come together in the perfect storm where the Spirit of God is going to be released. And we're going to see whole regions shut down by the glory of God, and the high schools shaken, universities shaken, places of government shut down because of the glory of God. Now, I know that there are preachers that have different views than I do, and that's their problem. I can only say what I heard. If I did not believe that God would not shake America one more time, then I have no more business being here. I'll take my wife and I'll go back to Africa. That's where I'm from. Thank you, lady in the pink hat. I wasn't sure if you said stay there or stay here. The Pink Hat Brigade have arrived, ladies and gentlemen. So, you know, this church, we came here in, I believe it was 93, and we saw that revival that really shook the Metroplex, and basically have been on and off every year since. We feel like we're part of the family. Amen. I've seen some of you grow up and grow old. I watched the ushers moving to catch people. In the early days, they would just catch them. Now they go, it's time to hand it over to some of the younger guys that have the agility. Amen. But the Lord spoke to me in a dream in 1998 to go to Madison Square Garden. Many of you know what happened in Good News New York. We rented the garden for 6 weeks, went in there, cast a gospel net across the city. 48,459 people gave their lives to Jesus. And on the 30th of July of 99, I preached a message, there's a storm coming. Talked about the rise of terrorism. Talked about the nations plotting the downfall of America as we speak. The fact that America is not ready for what's coming. And then asked the question, what would happen if a missile struck New York City? That was 2 years before the planes hit the tower. And so when that happened, we were not shocked. The Lord had sent us in. People don't know this, but we sent soul winners to the World Trade Center because we knew there were 50,000 people coming up and down the elevators every day. And for 6 weeks, they were asked the question, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? There's not one person working in the World Trade Center that will ever be able to say, I never heard. Now, I'm going to jump from 99 till now because we are 9 days away from going to our nation's capital, to Washington, D.C., We have rented the Daughters of the American Revolution Constitution Hall right by the White House. You can't get any closer to the White House than where we are. It's a historical building. There are documents by the Founding Fathers. The place seats 3,700. And we are casting a gospel net across the Capitol for 3 solid weeks. We're invading Congress. I've walked the halls of Congress and the Senate and have met with many leaders, both sides of the aisle, that are desperate. I met with a Democratic senator who looked at me. Before I could tell him anything, this Democratic senator from, I won't tell you where, but he looked at me and he said, let me tell you, when you come to Washington, D.C., you have to decide, are we going to sell our soul or not? And he said, I have not sold my soul. And then he looked at me, he said, sir, we are an industrial military complex and we run by offshore banking cartels. That's what he said. I didn't have to tell him a thing. He already knew what's going on. Because I know what's going on with America. Most people don't. Because they believe the secular media, which is all state-run propaganda. You have to go out of America to find out what's actually going on in America. But God has put this thing together. The Washington Times have come on board with us. They're one of the sponsors of the event. This is a full page. They're doing many of these over the course of the time of the Washington Times. The chairman of the Washington Times, when I sat down with him and I showed him the clip I'll show you tonight. We don't have it with us this morning. I'll show you the promo clip. And when I showed it to him, he had tears in his eyes. And I said, look, we're not stopping with D.C. I said, we're going to roll through every state capital in the union, and we're going to be confronting the governors and the senators and the congressmen. Somebody said, why are you doing this? The fear of God has to come back in our government. The fear of God has to come back. The fear of God. Elected officials must come under the control of God. And I've got nothing to lose. I'm not looking for a photo opportunity, and I'm not looking to be liked. I'm here on a mission. I walk the halls of Congress. I walked into congressmen's office. I talked to them like I'm talking right now. I just didn't have a microphone. And I grabbed their hands and prayed. They started crying. Let me tell you, we're going to see a mighty move of God shake America. The chairman of the Washington Times had tears in his eyes. He said, I want to help you as you go across America. Listen, there is an army that is being raised up. And I'm telling you right now that God is hearing the cries of His people. They are calling. How many have been praying over the nation? Let me tell you, I believe that the plague is going to be stayed from off the land. That God is going to have mercy on America one more time as He has each century. And so what I did was I booked it for 3 weeks, take a week break, and then I booked it for another 3 weeks. Because if I don't see what I feel we should see, I'm going back for another 3 weeks. This thing is going to break in the name of Jesus. This is why we came to America. Everything we've been doing up to now has been preparatory. And when you can go and stand in front of government and talk just like I'm talking right now, and say, there's a day coming when you will stand before the God of heaven and earth. Whether you believe in him or not, you will stand before him and give an account of how you have governed the people. $4 billion a year come through the hands of the lobby groups into the hands of the Congress and the Senate. You can't tell me that money doesn't control both sides of the aisle in our government. But I'm going to go there, I'm going to address that spirit of greed and lust for power. And I believe God's going to visit this land. Somebody said, aren't you afraid? I have nothing to be afraid of. I have God on my side. You want to see who I have on my side? I have Almighty God, the creator of heaven and earth, on my side. I have the angels of God that encamp about me. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And I mean, we meeting with them all the time, and we talk to them, and if necessary, rebuke them. Say, who do you think you are? So we covered your prayers. We covered your prayers. But it's going to be 14 nights. It will be televised on the Christian Television Network. And we are just believing the Lord that the fear of God is going to come. And we're going to do training, soul winning training in the morning time, people on the streets. The first week, just on the 4th of July, there's 2 million people on the mall. So you can imagine the harvest of souls there. And then we're inviting all the people that come in and help us. Maybe you could take a week this summer. Who feels that you maybe could take a week and come help us in the Capitol? And then we're encouraging every person to go and visit their congressman and senator and pray with them. Go pray with them. I think the ushers have the little tickets. If we can hand them out, I brought them along with us. Just pass them down the road. Just give them out to everybody. These are the tickets we've already given out. I believe this week we're handing out 2 million of these to Constitution Hall. Just take a pile and pass them down the road. Yeah. So there's a lot of people, let me just say, there's a lot of people in America, I find they talk, but they don't do. We put our money where our mouth is. I mean, the budget's not like New York City, you know, it costs us $6.7 million, it's only a $2 million budget, so it's not like, you know, it's not like it's going to break the bank, if you understand what I'm saying. But if we're going to do what we do for $2 million, can you imagine what we do with $100 million? So I'm believing God for the release of the finances of the end time harvest so we can just shake whole cities and shut them down. Just shut them down. Run the devil out of Dodge. Listen, the church cannot be confined to the four walls any longer. We come into church to celebrate Jesus and worship Jesus, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we're kicking butt and taking names. Can you say amen? This whole garbage of separation of church and state is the biggest bunch of trash you ever heard. The separation of church and state was to keep the government from sticking its snout in the church, but not stopping the church from going to the government and saying, absolutely not. You violate the laws of God. And besides that, they say, well, we don't believe in the laws of God. Then you violate the constitution of this nation. So even if you don't believe the Bible, you have to believe because you swore to defend it. And I've been swore to defend it, and I will. And you're an enemy of the state. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a showdown at the OK Corral. Maybe I'm actually a Texan. Who knows? Maybe I'm actually really a Texan. It's high noon. It's the last train to Yuma. It's the showdown at the OK Corral. It's John Wayne riding out across the trails. If you're prepared to die to take him, I'm prepared to die to keep him. Ah, shucks, get out of my way. The kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. It's time for the church to arise. Most people think they can't do something, but one man and one woman full of the power of God will write history. One man, one woman, God's just looking for a yielded vessel that will say, oh God, come, take me and use me. We're already getting calls from governments now. Can you come and do this here? From other nations. And I said, well, not until America falls. So that might be another couple of years. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Can we do this right now? Can we just pray over the nation? Just lift your hands to heaven. Let's do this right now. Father, that you would have mercy on America one more time. Those in government must be subject to you. I pray that your hand would come upon them in the night hours, in their places of residence, that the angels of God would walk in there and touch the life of every elected official, that the fear of God would come again in the land, and that the plague would be stayed. Let there come a holy boldness in your people to rise up in this hour and to proclaim your good news. And Lord, I thank you. We will not be with the silent majority that will go on into oblivion, but we will be with the bold, vocal Gideon's army that you raise up in this hour. And if necessary, then we'll command the sun and the moon to stand still. If necessary, through our hands and by our mouth, we will speak the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord shall be plain in this hour. And the glory of God will shake across America. Father, we thank you for it. And we give you praise. And we give you honor. Use every person in this house. Use every single person in this house, we pray. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, do I have a few more minutes? What time do you normally end here? All right, well, I'll take a few minutes here with this. I want to share this with you. I want to share this with you. I want you to take your Bibles, go with me, book of Matthew, if you would, please. I want to show you something here. And then we're going to do something. I'm going to show you something, and then we're going to do something. Matthew 28 and verse 1. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene, the other Mary, to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. Now, One thing I want you to understand here, that nobody was praying for the angel of the Lord to come do that. There is no prayer and intercession, and I'm not taking away from prayer and intercession. I'm trying to show you something here in the eternal plan of God, that when God has deemed something, it's going to happen. There was no prayer meeting going, oh, that you would come and that Jesus would raise from the... Nothing. Nothing. In the sovereign plan and purpose of God, an angel of the Lord came from heaven, rolled back the stone, and sat on it. Hallelujah. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men. Troy, can you come here quickly? Just stand over there on the platform and just shake and become as a dead man. All right. That's what happened to the keepers of the tomb. I just had to do it. Thank you. You play a good dead man. The keepers of the tomb did shake and become as dead men. Now watch this. The men that were set to guard the tomb, you talk about Roman soldiers. You talk about men that would lose their life if they were caught sleeping on the job. But when the glory of God comes, the powers of man are brought to naught. And the angel of the Lord said to the woman, fear not ye, for I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He's not here, he is risen. Come and see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. That doesn't seem right. How you can have fear and great joy? Well, this was not an evil fear. This was not a Friday the 13th fear. This was a godly fear. They ran with fear. It's the fear of God that will move us. That's why we're doing what we're doing, because I have the fear of God in me. It's the fear. I'm running to the Capitol with fear and great joy. Can you say amen? It's the fear of God that's moving me. And they did bring the word to the disciples. Now, the power of God was displayed at the resurrection when he raised Jesus from the dead. The moment that the stone was rolled away in such a powerful manner that these trained men of war were reduced to nothing. So what does that tell me? It's the resurrection life and the power of God that should be in manifestation, not just preached about by the church. Men preach about it. Listen, we spent from February, I did a 4-week revival, 2 meetings a day in Baltimore. Then we moved to 3 different churches. Then I spent 2 weeks just meeting with government officials, went to the National Day of Prayer. Even Billy Graham's daughter got up there, and she was so frustrated. She said to everybody, the National Day of Prayer, we've been praying for 64 years, and what good has it done? Because all the religious people come and pontificate, and they stand there and they get their prayers, and the bishops come and they do their little thing, and it's not doing squat. Nothing. Why? Because there's no release of the power of God. It's the power of God that must be released. The resurrection life, the same power that rolled away the stone, needs to fall where the believers go. That you have this resurrection life living on the inside of you, that when you walk into a place, stones are going to start to roll. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have to control myself here, please. I just try to calm myself, get myself. And so we see, as we read in the Word, it's like a fire shut up in our bones. It's the resurrection life of God. I can promise you that this is not some emotional state that I worked myself into before I got here. I was not in a hotel trying to get myself. I was tired this morning for whatever reason. I did. I told my wife. I suddenly got freezing cold and I got tired. I didn't have the air conditioning in the room or whatever. I thought I was in the North Pole. I went to the restroom and bumped into a moose coming out of the... So it's not about, oh, you came, he's on some kind of a high. No, this just comes out of me when prodded. Are you listening to me? You wake me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, this is what's going to come out. Because it's on the inside. It's in our spiritual DNA. It's the resurrection life of God. It's the resurrection life of God that our nation needs. It's the resurrection life of God that our churches need, that pastors need. The thing about Calvary Cathedral has been a place where the resurrection life of God has been allowed to do what God, whatever God wanted to do, Pastor Bob said, do it. Now, I know that from 93 for a fact. Now, go back to Matthew 27, because you're going to see something here in verse 50. Now, Jesus hanging on the cross. And Jesus, when he cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. Now watch this. And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after the resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things which were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. This was what has to happen. But it can only happen as the believers demonstrate the resurrection life. The devil tries to contain it in us. So people say, behave yourself now, go there now. You know, there's certain decorum and the way you... So he's bottled it up. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so whenever people get bold in the Holy Ghost, and everybody says, you need to not do that. You need to offend somebody and they'll get mad and whatever. So the devil knows how to get whatever power of God in the believer and get him contained. But the power of God cannot be contained. The power of God, listen to this, was so great that all the Old Testament saints rose from the dead. When he cried, it is finished, and the veil was torn in two, up from the grave came all the Old Testament saints. Somebody said, I was at the mall. I bumped into Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were drinking a latte. Somebody said, you're crazy, man. They're crazy. They were dead for years. I just saw them. They showed themselves in Jerusalem. There was no one living in Jerusalem at the time of the resurrection that did not know he was alive. It is not a myth. It is not some fable. It is not some story that Jesus raised from the dead. It is a historical fact that Jesus rose from the dead. Hallelujah. But the power of the resurrection was so great that all the Old Testament saints come up out of the grave walking the streets of Jerusalem. Oh, hallelujah. People were going home at night saying, we've seen strange things today. The only reason I pause is because I'm exploding on the inside. I have to hold myself back because I'm about to... Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Now, you sit there. How many would call yourself a believer today that you are saved and you're born again? Wave your hand. Everybody should, because we gave the altar call already. Then what does that mean? That means that this resurrection life is on the inside of every single one of you. That's why Jesus told them, he said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. John 7:37, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He never said out of your head. You can't intellectualize this. You can't try to get it. Your thought, let me get my thoughts collected. Throw your thoughts out of the window, out of your spirit, out of your belly, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. So you have to learn to hook your top to your spirit. You have to learn to shut your head off. Heads are good for look for the traffic. No, don't put that color on. Heads are good for natural things, you know, but they're not good for spiritual things. But you have a mind of the Spirit, and you have to think with the mind of the Spirit. Can you say amen? Put your hand on your belly. My hand used to be out there. Fact. 15 inches away from where it is now. Put your hand on your belly. Put your other hand on your head. Notice the difference. There's a difference. Most people are living out of here. They're functioning out of this part of their body. God never designed for you to function out of this part of the body. He designed for you to function out of your spirit. To live and walk out of your spirit. You can live there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The storms of life will come. The winds of adversity will blow. But out of your belly will flow the rivers of living water that will bring the life to a dry and a thirsty land. The devil tries to shut people up. He tries to shut your voice. He tries to silence you. You'll come with persecution. You'll come and mock you. And then people want to be acceptable. Look, as long as you know you're acceptable to Him, as long as you know that the Lord has accepted you, then you don't need to go around looking for the acceptance of man. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are ambassadors of Him. We do not represent any human kingdom. We represent the kingdom of God. And we carry the firepower of heaven. Hallelujah. I've got an army. God's got an army marching through the land. But I've got an army in the Spirit. The angels of God encamped about us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Therefore, we shall not fear. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, phenomenal. Phenomenal what the Lord is doing. Amen. Hallelujah. What you've got to understand is that this resurrection life, why do people read about it in the Bible but don't live by it? You watch every Easter service. Churches all over. And they talk about the resurrection life, but you can't find it coming out of them. The resurrection life is not something that we talk about what happened then. The resurrection life is something that's supposed to be demonstrated in us. And it's got nothing to do with the full-time ministry. This is just the credentials of the born-again believer. Are you listening to me? You don't have to be bishop. You don't have to be the honorable, right, reverend, doctor, professor, archbishop, Popus Maximus. You just have to be a believer that loves Jesus. And this resurrection life is available to every single one of you to live and walk in. No matter how dark the darkness is coming against you, the light, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises up a standard against them. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 In the book of Romans, it says here that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. Carnal means meat. Carne, meat. To be meat-headed is death. There's a lot of meatheads running around the place. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the same Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Quickening. You look at the world. They're popping every pill known to man, looking for a quickening. But when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, it will quicken you. Sickness and disease will not be able to live on the inside of you as you activate this resurrection life. In Ephesians 1 and 16, he says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding, Big John, being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance of the saints, and what is the, listen to this, what is the exceeding greatness of the power to us who believe, according to the work of the mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him in his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world but in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head of all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So that means that he comes to live big on the inside of you. That where you go, he goes. Where you walk, he walks. When you speak, he'll speak through you. When you touch, he will touch through you. This anointing, this resurrection life. But the eyes of your understanding have to see it. It's like you've got to open up and go, oh, wow. Down through the centuries and down through the years, there have been men and women that grabbed a hold of it. People like John G. Lake grabbed a hold of it. Smith Wigglesworth grabbed a hold of it. And others. But there are many people in the body of Christ, they know these things and they mentally assent to it. Yeah, I believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Shabba-ba-ba. But that's it. There is no display. The moment they leave the building, there's no display of any resurrection life. They go right back to living in the natural. They function in the natural. They think in the natural. They operate in the natural. They come into the service. They feel the power of God. They say, this is heaven. But they live in heaven and hell instead of realizing that when hell comes against you, heaven needs to rise up to meet it at the gate. Can you say amen? The problem in America is not the government. Are you listening to me? The problem in America is not the government. The problem in America is the church. The church is the problem, not the government. Oh, you can moan all you want to because of the people that are in power, but you voted them in, so what's your problem? The problem is the church that is backslidden, that's got one foot in the world and one foot in the kingdom of God, and they sleep. It's a fact. The people in the world laugh at the church because they don't see any manifestation of any resurrection life in the life of the believer. Because everybody will come for a day of prayer. But what does that mean? It says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So therefore, the effectual fervent prayer of an unrighteous man doesn't avail to nothing. So just because the unrighteous pray, the only prayer the unrighteous are going to get is, God help me, save me. Then he comes. But the rest of it is just his mercy and grace, really, to be honest with you. But the righteous have the power. Are you listening to me? The righteous born-again believer has the power of heaven and earth at their disposal, given to you by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. And you've been given the keys to the kingdom. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Behold, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and of all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Hallelujah. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Cast out devils. The Bible says Peter's shadow passed over the people and they were healed. The shadow, the shadow, the shadow, the shadow, the shadow, the shadow. Me and my shadow. Shadow. A shadow doesn't say anything. Shadow doesn't do anything. It's just there. But Peter's shadow passed over people that were healed. Why? The resurrection life. In Ephesians 2 verse 1, and you have he quickened. You should get excited about that just right there. And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Even when you were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So we are seated with him. Hallelujah. In John 15 and verse 4, dwell in me and I'll dwell in you. Live in me and I'll live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding in, being vitally united to me, the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. Verse 7, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourself to be true followers of me. So if there's no fruit, then you can't be a follower of Christ. If there's no fruit coming from your life, then how can you call yourself a Christian? If there's no fruit being produced in your daily life, then you're not living and abiding in the vine. It is impossible to be connected to the God of heaven and earth and not have fruit being produced from you. And I'm not talking about natural fruit. I'm talking about eternal fruit. Because this resurrection life wants to have free expression through each and every one of you. The Holy Ghost wants to take full control of your mouth, of your mind, of your hands, your emotions, your intellect, and your will. And he wants to come and live big on the inside of you. And he wants to use you. I want to close this message with this. There's other things we'll talk about tonight. We'll continue along these lines. John G. Lake, I use him as an example because he came to Southern Africa. 550 churches started in 5 years. It's still one of the leading Pentecostal denominations in the nation, even though they've moved away from Pentecost. But in the day of the bubonic plague, people came to him and said, we don't understand how you work with these people and yet you're not affected. That disease is contagious. And he said, well, that's very easy to explain. And they said, please tell us. He said, well, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus made me free from the law of sin and death. He said, take some of the foam off of the mouth of the dead person, you know, this person that died. Put it under the microscope. It's living. He said, now put it on my hand. He said, now put it back under the microscope. The living virus under the microscope after it came off of his hand was dead because he believed. Hallelujah. Now, when we say many times about South Africa being shaken back in that time, people don't understand. You know, God visited every nation. You go and look at Wales, what happened in the Welsh revival. There were two, one in the 1850s, one in 1904. You look at what happened at the outbreak of Azusa Street. And, of course, many in America think that the Holy Spirit came at Azusa Street, but he didn't. He came at Pentecost. And God's been moving down all the years and all the centuries. God was moving in the year 700. There was a group of people that lived in the year 1200 that were called the Brethren of the Order of the Holy Ghost. There were people that moved mountains in the year 1230. Moved a mountain in Iraq. You can go read it in the writings of Marco Polo, the unabridged, unedited version on Marco Polo. You'll see they move mountains. People can't even move a molehill today. Some people can't even move themselves to come to the service. People think that the greatest miracles are only happening now. God's always been moving with great miracles. We just didn't, they were never publicized. And the problem is today that the moment something happens, then there's the parasites that come along to make money off of what God's doing. They make merchandise off of the anointing, off of the man and woman of God. And that's another story I won't get into. But there was a man by the name of Dan Van Buren who was a butcher who had contracted tuberculosis. It was so bad he knew he was going to die. Back in those days, there was no... what are you going to do? Just get ready. Set your house in order. He sold his butcher shop and he bought a farm. He had 11 children. A family member wrote to him telling him of the mighty miracles under the ministry of Dr. Lake. So he's got this letter of this lady who jumped out of a wheelchair and another cripple that walked and a blind that saw and the deaf that heard. And he went out on his farm and he went and knelt under this huge African bush. And he cried out to God and he held the letter to the Lord and he said, Lord, if you can heal this one, if you can heal this person, if you can touch this person, then heal me. And the fire of God fell and hit him. And he was miraculously healed of tuberculosis. He got straight up from there, walked right back into the farmhouse. His wife, who was not born again, she came out of the kitchen. He never said a word to her. As she came towards him, she looked at him and she fell on knees. And she said, Dan, pray for me. I need God. He never said a word. She just saw God. And over the next 2 weeks, all 11 children were all saved and all baptized in the Holy Ghost and filled with the Spirit. And then the Lord led him. Listen to this. This is why I'm going to D.C. Many people think I'm crazy. What are you going there for? This is why I'm going to D.C. because I know what God's done in history. He then went by the Spirit of God to every elected official. As the Lord directed him, he prayed with them. Even the prime minister, who was Louis Buerta at the time, said to John G. Lake, John G. Lake wrote about it. He said, the prime minister said to me that when Dan Van Buren walked in the door, he looked like God. He walked like God. He talked like God. The prime minister shook. This is in the Capitol Union buildings of Southern Africa, and fell under the desk and shook like a leaf. And for 3 months, he visited every judge, every elected official. Within 3 months, every member of government knew that there was a God in heaven who sent his son. His name is Jesus. And that Jesus sent the Holy Ghost, and that you could get the Holy Ghost and get baptized in the Holy Ghost with evidence of speaking other tongues. That's why 550 churches started in 5 years. Because you see churches planted today, and they might grow to be a mega church, but you don't just see churches like that. You understand what I'm saying? But churches are just... to just multiply in 5 years. Some people spend years building a church, but off of resurrection life is what builds the house of God. Can you say amen? There are churches all over the Metroplex today that will allow very limited measure of the resurrection life. In the mindsets of those in the clergy, I'm an out-of-control preacher because I should be up there. I'm running around the place, up and down the aisle, walking along. But then you don't understand what happened when Billy Sunday preached. You don't understand what happened when Moody preached. You weren't there when they had the Great Awakening, when Jonathan Edwards preached, when Peter Cartwright and John Wesley preached. That's the problem. We've got it contained. We put it in a museum. God's things are not there to be observed as this happened way back when. God's power is there for today, for this generation, for the power of God to be on display. And to fall outside of the church, on the streets. Hallelujah. That's what's starting to happen now. We're seeing more miracles. It's very hard for me to even have somebody that has a healing ministry come to our church, because they're stuck in a rut of the way healing ministry is. Our people in our church all have miracles. So I feel embarrassed when the guy with the healing ministry comes, we turn him loose. He has a couple of neck aches healed and a few words of knowledge. And our kids are healing the sick. And People are jumping out of wheelchairs on the streets. It's pretty embarrassing for me. Because each healing ministry wants to make out like it's exclusive. I have the special anointing. The Lord put his right hand on my hand. But for your love gift of $100 today, that anointing will be active. Excuse me while I flush. This power is available to every believer. This power is available to those that are hungry. It doesn't matter what your education is. It doesn't matter what your social standing in life is. It doesn't matter what side of the railroad tracks you come from. If you are hungry, if you are thirsty, if you cry out, God will come and touch you just like He did Dan Van Buren. Hallelujah. It's life. It's life. It's life. Resurrection life. Some of you just need to activate it. Come here, brother. Come step right over here. It's life. It's life. It's resurrection life. It's life. Hallelujah. 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 It's life. You always have the most colorful glasses. Give these here. Look at these things. They're the most colorful. Jesus. Power of God. Can you believe I pick up people's glasses and people's hats? Hallelujah. It's life. It's life. It's life. It's the life of God. It's the life of God that brings transformation. Fire. Fire of God. Fire of the Holy Ghost. This has to fall in our government. The power of God's got to fall in the Congress and in the Senate. Let me tell you right now, it's only hope for America. Without a display of the power of God, it's finished. It's over. I'm telling you right now, without the power of God in display, it's over. It's over. It's finished. Come here. Right here. Lift your hands. Fire. Fire of God. You two, come here. And you, come here. Both of you. Oh, hallelujah. Quickly, quickly. Right here. Fire. Fire of God. Fire. The fire of God right now. From the top of your head to the soles of your feet. God wants to get all of His people under the anointing. You've got to get under the anointing. You've got to live under the anointing. People have lived under alcohol. They've lived under drugs. They've lived under depression. You need to live under the anointing. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. 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 Come here. Come here, both of you, quickly. Run, 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 run. Fire. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Come here, brother, right over here. Hallelujah. Fire. The fire of God. Take it right now. Going right through you. Quickly, we'll end up in the parking lot. Take it. Come here, baby. Come here. Hallelujah. God is no respecter of persons. It doesn't matter how old you are. How young you are. Come here, sweetie. Lift your hands. Fire. Fire of God. Doesn't matter. We've got to live under the anointing. We've got to live in the resurrection life. It's your calling card. It's your signature. He that hath the Son hath life. Hallelujah. Woo. Glory. Glory. Glory! 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 Ha! Ooh. Paramba! Rebo saprivondo saya! Hallelujah! 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 It's life! It's resurrection life! Sick bodies will be healed right in your seats! without even hands laid on, just sitting in your pews, just sitting in the chairs right now. Bodies will be healed in the divine atmosphere of heaven. Hallelujah. You shall not die but live. Thou shalt not die but live. Thou shalt not die but live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your work is not done yet. Your work is not done. Oh, saprobonde le brevista. Rembo baba ribocoso porodando. Hallelujah. Come here, both of you. Step right over there. A new day. A new day. Take it right now. Just take it. Fire. The fire of God. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you don't want the fire of God, you better make a run for the door right now. Oh, hallelujah. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Yes, a fresh wind shall blow upon your life and your ministry. Father, we thank you for it, and we give you praise. Come here, brother. Yes, you. Fire! Take that right there. Yep. Hallelujah. 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 It's life. It's life. It's life. It's joy. It's life. Come here, sister. It's life. It's joy. It's joy. Oh, Jesus. Yeah, that's it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now people get nervous when I walk around because they're afraid who might be next. Hallelujah. But I'm a missionary. I travel. Amen. If you don't want me to pray for you, just stare ahead of you and don't smile. Do not smile. That's a great job there, sir. Great job. Hallelujah. Jesus. Sitting staring at me. Hallelujah. Come here, dear brother. Hallelujah. Where are you from? What do you do? So you do like the news and all that? So today, does America play Portugal? That's what you do, commentary. Little soccer. All right. Father, thank you for this man, that you use him in a mighty way. The fire of the Holy Ghost. There it is right now. Go right through him. Jesus. Let that resurrection life be made manifest in everything he does. Now thank you for it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just speak a quickening to your physical bodies even now for both of you. On this celebration day, the quickening of the hand of God on your life, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwell in you. Quicken. I speak it even now in Jesus' name. 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 In Jesus' name.
Rick Gentry here. I just want to thank you for listening today, taking time out of your busy day to listen to BPN Radio. And today you've been listening to Dr. Rodney Howard Brown from Tampa, Florida. For more information about Preaching Sunday, you can contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. good day.